Good morning, good afternoon, and good night to everyone listening, and welcome to the Makeshift Managers Podcast. My name is Austin, and the Seattle Seahawks knocking out quarterbacks in the wild card round. Name a more iconic duo.
And I'm Devin, and name a more iconic duo than Adam Gase and head coach listings.
Do you mean Adam Gase?
I am.
The man who developed Peyton Manning?
In the entirety of my time on Twitter, there's been a handful of tweets where I've looked at them and just thought, who tweeted this? Who cleared this tweet to hit the public eye? Because, like, I don't know who did it, but if I were in charge of accounts, I would never even get close to saying Peyton Manning was developed by Adam Gase.
To be fair, I had never heard of who Peyton Manning was until he went to Denver. I can't even say it with a straight face.
That tweet was just egregious. It was reckless, and it was just, I don't know who did it, but I want to talk.
I just want to talk to him. But before we get into the playoffs, let's talk about, now that we have time, talk about these head coaching jobs. So, Doug Peterson held his job for 8 days after that whole hellstorm that went down in Philly. Eight days too long. Doug Peterson is out as the Philadelphia Eagles head coach. And, man, if Adam Gase becomes Philadelphia Eagles head coach, oh boy. Oh boy. I cannot wait.
If Adam Gase becomes the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, I fear for Miles Sanders. I fear for Carson Wentz. I fear for everyone on that roster. I don't know how you go from Dougie Fresh to Crazy Eyes Gase in one offseason. It wouldn't be a net negative, but it's definitely not a net positive. It's the most neutral signing I could even think of. I would not understand it. I'd rather them just rehire Doug Peterson at that point.
Well, like, how appealing is that job right now? So, you have Carson Wentz, who you're kind of stuck with unless your GM gets rid of him. And you have Jalen Hurts. And you don't have any... I don't think you really have any money. You most likely are going to draft a wide receiver in the draft. You should, whether it be Jamar Chase or Devonta Smith. You gotta move on from Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson. They're getting old.
They are definitely getting old.
And
that's the problem with the...
DeSean Jackson doesn't know how to run a route that isn't 25 yards or more.
Yeah. The problem with the Eagles right now is, like, it's not only the fact that they pay people too much money, it's that everyone that they're paying is relatively old. So it's like you're not getting much upside out of who you're paying anyways.
Well, here's where, like, I have a problem. Like, and they talked about it during the Saints and Bears game. It's like Mitch Trubisky isn't signed to next season so far. But, like, what is with teams and giving these extensions to guys they obviously don't believe in yet?
I think the problem with... So... We have a special case whenever it comes to Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, because these are two quarterbacks that in their rookie deals exceeded expectations for a majority of those deals, i.e. Jared Goff leading the Rams to a Super Bowl, albeit with a great supporting cast around him, one of the better defenses in the league and some stud offensive talent. And you have Carson Wentz, who put together an MVP season before his knee exploded. And the front offices kind of just jumped the gun. They said, we know what we have here, which they don't really know what they have there, but due to the previous circumstances, they believe they know what they have, and they're not buying low per se, but they're not willing to go into a bidding war for the asset that they initially drafted.
Do you think that teams like the Eagles and the Rams, not really having a stud quarterback for the previous seasons, do you think that falls into that thinking? You're like, man, so, like, look at the Rams. I don't think the Rams really had great, like, a great quarterback before Jared Goff for a while. And so it's like when somebody like Jared Goff comes along, you're like, well, if we don't keep him, then we might fall into that, you know, purgatory again. The same with the Eagles. The Eagles, after McNabb left, what did they have?
They had Vic for a bit. They had Nick Foles for a bit. It was really murky. And that's the thing with franchise guys. There's not many franchise quarterbacks in the league. There's a lot of starters. There's a lot of backups. But there's only a handful of franchise guys throughout any generation. Off the top of my head, we go quarterback for quarterback in the league. As it stands right now, your franchise quarterbacks are Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, and I don't know. That's about it. Like Matt Ryan and Stafford, they've been really good. They haven't led their teams to Super Bowls or anything like that. Ryan did, but at this point in their careers, they're not the franchise guys you need moving forward.
I would say Matt Ryan is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. The ball should have been ran, but you know, that's a whole story for a different time. But I would say Matt Ryan at least did it once. He did enough to do it once. I don't know, because now you look at situations where like the Dallas Cowboys have. The Dallas Cowboys, you know, had, you know, Tony Romo for the longest time until Tony just flat out his body couldn't take the damage anymore.
Yeah.
The dude was he was barely gonna be able to walk by the time he was like 50 or 60. So he got out of Dodge. I don't blame him the slightest. But every time Romo went down, what did the Cowboys have? Nobody. So now,
yeah.
But now they're stuck in this spot where you have to pay Dak Prescott. Number one, he wants to break records. He wants more than everybody else. And
mm-hmm.
if they were able to get a deal done early on, then they might have had a chance to avoid this kind of money right now and defer it to later. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, the Lions most likely need to draft a quarterback, I would say, at this point. I love Matt Stafford, but I don't know what he's got left, let alone what's around him. DeAndre Swift is hopefully going to come out to be something. Kenny Galladay is always a good wide receiver. I think Marvin Jones.
I think Kenny Galladay's gone. I don't see him re-signing unless they were to tell him we're drafting a quarterback this year. He and Allen Robinson are so far gone. Because at least with Robinson, he went from the demigod that was Blake Bortles to the demigod that is Mitch Trubisky. And he's not getting any younger. So if I'm him, I've secured the bag in Chicago. I'm going to play with whoever I can that's going to help me with my production. Because he's been putting up numbers with subpar quarterback play his entire career. I want to see this dude with an actual Pro Bowl caliber quarterback.
A-Rob is great. That dude could be real. I mean, he already is really good. But give him a quarterback that can drop him dimes on the regular, that guy's going to make a lot of money and a lot of yards.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be a threat. I think there's plenty of teams that could use him. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. But Allen Robinson and Kenny Galladay are so far gone, in my opinion. Galladay might resign. Who knows?
The wide receiver pool is going to get kind of big. You got Will Fuller in there, too. And Will Fuller stayed healthy. I'm not wrong, but, you know, we'll see. He put up numbers with Watson this year, but, you know, the whole suspension. We'll see if he's off that good.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy. But then you got A-Rob, you got Kenny Galladay. I'm sure there's plenty of more wide receivers that are on the market this year.
Godwin. The wide receiver free agent class this year is disgusting. There's going to be a lot of teams improving at the wide receiver spot, and we're going to see a lot of different moves made for teams to improve their receivers.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I wonder if Buffalo could get a solid number two. Could you imagine?
I don't think they would have to overpay for him.
Probably.
Because Diggs is already a pretty big number at receiver, and unless they were to sign a guy like maybe Fuller, but I think Fuller's going to command wide receiver one money, especially with Houston being in play, because Houston can't afford to let him walk. So he's going to get paid a lot. And I don't think Godwin's going to take a pay cut to go anywhere. I don't know. It's interesting to see how it's all going to play out, but I don't know. I think the Bills could add a wide receiver too, but at what cost? Because you've got them sitting in the AFC East right now. Their defense is good. Their defense is solid, but they're going to have to pay some guys moving forward. Tre'Davious White is paid for, but they're going to keep improving through the draft. Their running back situation should be fine. They've got Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, two young guys they don't have to pay for a while. But eventually, they're going to have to pay Josh. That's a lot of money off the books. And so a wide receiver makes sense, but at the same time, I just don't know if you justify it. Because they still have John Brown. They still have Cole Beasley. Their receiving core is not bad.
Gabriel Davis had a decent rookie year.
Yeah, they've got weapons out the ass up there, to be fair.
I wonder if Jacksonville will be able to convince anybody. Because I think whether it's Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, we're pretty confident it's Trevor Lawrence. But let's just, for the scenario, say it's either or.
Okay.
Do you think Jacksonville could convince any of those wide receivers to show up and play next to DJ Chark?
I think it would be so funny if Allen Robinson said fuck it and went back to the Jaguars. It would never happen, but I think it would be funny as hell. Because, like, if he goes back to Jacksonville, he's the wide receiver one, unquestioned. DJ Chark is a good receiver, but if you get a Godwin, a Galladay, a Robinson, any of those dudes, Chark is now the wide receiver too. And there's no debating it. He's officially demoted, and I don't think it's a bad thing for Chark. I think Chark benefited last year from, I don't know how to say it. I think he just was a beneficiary to a bad team that needed to throw the ball a lot of the time. And then this year we saw when James Robinson stepped in, his role shrunk quite a bit, and he kept getting hurt. So I think if somebody else were to get signed, DJ Chark ends up being a wide receiver too.
Honestly, I feel like Chris Godwin needs to go somewhere where he's going to be number one. I'd love him in Tampa, don't get me wrong. He has good production out of Tampa, but if Chris Godwin can go somewhere and be the guy, that dude's going to put up numbers.
Bigger numbers. Oh, yeah, for sure. But Chris Godwin had himself a week, too. He had more drops. He had about the same amount of drops in the wild card game that he had in his entire career to that point.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Godwin will be a stud wherever he goes. I think who needs Chris Godwin that can compete right now?
That can compete right now?
Like
Chargers?
Maybe. The Chargers don't need him. The Chargers, if we want another receiver, we should definitely look through the draft. There's no reason for us to be signing a guy to big money. We're going to have to let Hunter Henry walk because of contractual obligations. We can't pay that dude. He's going to want too much money. Love Hunter Henry. He's been hurt quite a bit, but whenever he's on the field, he's a safety valve for any quarterback. Yeah. I think in terms of teams that could use a receiver, maybe Godwin goes like the Washington football team.
Next to Scary Terry.
McLaurin. Yeah, Scary Terry, Logan Thomas, Godwin, Antonio Gibson. Maybe one of them goes to like the Eagles or something. I don't know. Receiver's really hard to forecast for because there's such good young talent in the league whenever it comes to receiver. I don't think a lot of teams are super eager to pay the top-end guys.
Well, something interesting the Washington football team is that the Washington football team has, I think, a solid running game now. I think they can hand the ball to Antonio Gibson 20 times a game, and you have J.D. McKissick as a good catch passing back. Taylor Heinicke had a pretty good game against Tampa. But is Taylor Heinicke the guy you're going to use going forward? But on top of that,
so do it next year.
But on top of that, can you even get a quarterback at your pick this year? Because they're pick 19 now because they won.
Yeah. If the Washington football team wants to explore a new quarterback, they're going to have to trade for one. So it's either going to be Heinicke or a guy like Stafford next season for the football team. And I think rolling out Heinicke for a chunk of next year isn't a bad idea. Because if you look at yourself as a Washington football team, you made the playoffs this year. You have really good young talent. You can throw away a season here. I'm not saying tank it, but if you miss the playoffs next year, you're not dead in the water. Because if your pick's high enough, you can draft a quarterback. And the other teams in your division are getting older. The Cowboys' offensive line is old as dirt.
Yeah.
Dak might not even be a Cowboy next year. What if the Washington football team just signs Dak? They're just like, you know what? Dak, here's money. Come play here.
I love Dak Prescott.
How scary is that offense?
I love Dak Prescott, but...
Yeah.
A, is Dak going to run as much as he previously did before? He may slide more. So maybe he runs the same, but he probably understands that he needs to slide much more. Especially after that injury.
Yeah.
But where else can you go to have Zeke Elliott, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup? He has a solid wide receiver one, and you know, Amari Cooper isn't dropping at the rate he was before. He still hits the stone hands every now and then, but he doesn't drop as much as he did before. And then Gallup and Lamb are easily wide receiver twos. Like, in terms of, like, fantasy football, it's hard for me to take, like, a Dallas Cowboy wide receiver because there's so many mouths to feed. But, like, as the Dallas Cowboy quarterback, you have so many mouths that you can feed. Something's got to give. Like, could he have the same production that he does in Dallas somewhere else if he doesn't have that kind of core?
I think Dak could. I think a bit, because the thing with this is going to be, does Dak want to play for a team that has no defense whatsoever? And he's going to have to basically play Russell Wilson football for the next 3 years in order to make his team competitive.
Right.
Or does he want to join a team that has an established defense and young pieces to work with on the offensive end of the ball? Because I think the Washington football team, while they don't have Zeke and they don't have CeeDee Lamb or Michael Gallup, they could use some of their cap space to get a number one receiver that, well, they already have their number one in McLaurin. Scary Terry is one of the better receivers in the game.
Yeah.
Especially at his age. And you're not paying him a bunch of money. So you bring in Dak for however much he wants. You try and sign an Allen Robinson or a Chris Godwin, even a Will Fuller, because their tight end spot is pretty much set. Logan Thomas looks like he's going to be the dude there for a while at tight end. Antonio Gibson, good young running back, one of the best out of his class. You've got McLaurin, you've got Mims. There's a lot of weapons there that, if are used correctly, could, I think, I don't know, I don't think Dak's production gets hit that bad.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see where Dak goes next year if he wants to stay. Like, obviously, the reports from, like, the Jones family and stuff says, like, oh, talks are good, but it's like, you still got to pay the man a lot of money. And
yeah, they didn't want to pay him a year ago, so what changed besides a busted-ass ankle?
Right. And historically, we've seen that this whole outscoring your opponent, like, oh, you put up 35, we'll put up 40, doesn't work in the playoffs.
Not at all.
So, like, we talked about this, you know, offline, but Dallas just hired former Atlanta Falcons head coach Dan Quinn as their defensive coordinator. And I told you that at any point I'd take a change. So I'll take this change. But Dan Quinn isn't like this mastermind that's going to write up these schemes and be like, oh yeah, this is gonna work. It's like, no, you still gotta have the guys to do it. So
yeah,
I think it'll be huge that Dallas takes a quarterback at 10, whether it be Caleb Farley or Patrick Surtain.
My biggest thing with the Cowboys right now is you guys are super lucky that Kellen Moore hasn't left. He is the only competent coordinator / coach on your guys' team, minus some special teams dudes or quarterback coaches, whatever. else is on the like payroll, but Mikey McChickens is awful. I get it. His team was hurt, but if I was going into next season with Mike McCarthy as my head coach, I don't know what I expect. And the fact that they added Dan Quinn as the defensive coordinator, change is change, but I don't know if the result's going to change at all.
Yeah, it's hard to say that the division's going to be that bad again next season, but it's distinctly possible that the division's going to be that bad again next season.
Yeah.
None of those four teams are going to improve outside of Dallas getting healthy. Washington needs a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Philly has no idea what they're doing. And New York still believes in Dan Jones. And I don't know how much longer they can hang on to him.
Yeah, it's a tough situation.
All four teams are kind of in weird spots.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's just like
the NFC East is in shambles, and it probably will be for a while. Everything's in flux.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if Urban Meyer goes to Jacksonville. I have no idea who wants to head coach the Jets. Who else has openings? Atlanta. Atlanta doesn't have any cap space and one wide receiver that can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Houston, I think Romeo Crennel lost like 5 years off his life trying to head coach that team.
Yeah. Romeo Crennel. Poor dude. He's always in discussions, but he's never the head coach. He'll be interim guy for a while, but I don't think he's really anyone's first choice to be a head coach.
What about the Chargers? Like, I feel like that's one of like the best jobs right now. No, not
one of the best jobs.
Not Romeo Crennel.
We're not going to hire Romeo Crennel.
No, not Romeo Crennel. I mean, like, who do you think?
Any head coaching candidate would love to be the coach of the Chargers. I hope it's not Doug Peterson. I hope it's not Adam Gase. We had an interview with Jason Garrett, which I'm praying to God doesn't lead to anything. We've been connected to Robert Saleh. I just want someone in there that's going to be able... I would like to have a coach that can help mentor Justin Herbert and help him build off of his rookie year, because this team's going to go as far as Herbert can help take us for the most part. Our defense is there. Our defense is good. We just need to stay healthy. But on offense, if we can actually create a system to highlight Herbert's strengths, I think we'll be damn near unbeatable.
To be fair, Jason Garrett gets his team to 8-8. Just saying.
Yeah, 8-8's not going to make the playoffs in the AFC.
Especially in the AFC West.
Yeah. I know my team's playing for the wild card for the next 8 years, but yeah, 8-8's not going to cut it.
Yeah, being an AFC team that isn't a part of that dogfight right now is... It's going to be a tough like next like 5-6 years of football. It really
You're
is.
You're telling me, dude. I wish the Chargers were in the NFC NFC East. We'd win the division in the next 10 years.
Well, it's like the stat that I saw the other day that I sent you is like Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. The four quarterbacks who are left in the current AFC playoffs. Spoiler alert if you didn't already know the results. The oldest among those four is Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield isn't even 27 yet.
Yeah. It's crazy. The amount of youth in the AFC compared to the NFC is just insane. But that just means we're going to see a changing of the guard in the next 5 years, where the NFC is going to take over the younger quarterbacks, in a sense.
And you know what I realized when I was watching the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game is Cleveland's been doing this without Odell.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Odell's the best one on the planet, but, like, he's still a good wide receiver.
Yeah. He's dynamic. He helps that team actually operate at a high rate.
But, man.
I don't think... Yeah, it's interesting.
Chubb and Hunt are something else, I'll tell you what. Jeez.
Probably the best backfield in the league in terms of 1-2 punch. I don't think there's any other backfield that can match the production of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. At least talent-wise, it's the best backfield the league's seen in a decade. They are so good.
Yeah. All right, let's Let's get into these playoff games. We'll start with all the Saturday games. So the Bills beat the Colts 27-24. Really good game. I kind of expected Buffalo to blow them out the way they've been playing lately, but Indy's defense, you know, held up to a point, you know, didn't get blown out, tried to keep them in the game.
Yeah.
Phil Rivers had a good, if this is Phil Rivers' last game,
yeah,
hats off to him.
Yeah, great career, as good as it could have been for him. So if it is the end of Phillip's career, Godspeed, man.
Yeah, it's weird to see where the Colts go from here, because there's no way they keep Jacoby Brissett. They can keep Jacoby Brissett, but he's not number one. They found that out.
Yeah.
I don't hate re-signing Phillip Rivers, but I feel like there's better options.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's gonna come down to, do they want to be committed to a guy for a couple of years, or they just want to have one more year of Phillip and run it back? Because realistically, if they run it back next year, they almost beat the Bills, and that's the hottest team in football. So I feel like they could have beaten basically any other team in the playoffs at this point, besides like the Chiefs.
Yeah, if
they probably could have went into Tennessee, beat them. They probably could have played Baltimore and beat them. They would have kicked the shit out of the Steelers.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they lost to the Steelers, but that was fresh, and it's really hard to beat somebody twice in 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would have beat the Browns. Their defense is really, really good, and on offense, they can run the ball almost at will. Jonathan Taylor's turned into an absolute stud over the last 7 weeks of the year.
Yeah, if a couple of drives go their way, they're AFC South champions.
Yeah,
100%. Losing to Jacksonville week one was probably their biggest downfall. That was huge. Blowing that game to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that...
There's just a couple of things that didn't go their way that wasn't really even Phillip Rivers' fault. But I don't know. If they signed Phil, I think they could definitely get back to the playoffs. But it's,
oh yeah,
it's either play now or play for the future. Really depends what they want to do.
And with the weapons they have, they still have T.Y. Hilton. I think they're a play now team, at least for next year.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of talent that's in their mid to late 20s that they should just use now. Because if they're going to draft a quarterback or trade for a young quarterback, it's going to take time for them to acclimate to the system and actually be putting up numbers to keep them in contention.
And the thing is like they'll have Marlon Mack next year. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines. Do you really need all three of those guys?
Well, neither of them are making huge money. If they're still all under contract, just keep them.
Yeah, that's true.
It's better to have and not need. As we've noticed in week one, whenever Marlon Mack destroyed his Achilles, it's better to have and not need than to need and not have.
Yeah.
Injuries do not discriminate. Anybody can get hurt any down of any week. So I'd love to be in the situation the Colts have with Hines, Mack, and Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, screw it, why not? Like, especially because Taylor and Hines filled in really well for Mack, and if any one of those guys goes down, they still have a two-headed monster in sense. So I think Marlon Mack can really have a good bounce back year if he doesn't get hurt.
I thought Marlon Mack was going to have a great year this year before he got hurt. So I think he'll be fine next year. I was high on Marlon Mack. I thought Marlon Mack was going to basically be the kibosh to the whole Jonathan Taylor rookie extravaganza. And if he doesn't get hurt, I think I'm right.
Let's see. The Rams beat the Seahawks. That defense absolutely flustered Russell Wilson, besides a couple of DK Metcalf touchdowns. Cam Akers, 28 carries for 131 yards and a touchdown. Jamal Adams sent John Wolford to the hospital.
Yeah. This game came down to Sean McVay being a better coach than Pete Carroll. Like, this whole Seahawks regime has been skating off of their 2013 Super Bowl win for a while now. Like, yeah, Wilson won a Super Bowl whenever the defense was all world, but I just don't see how the Seahawks win big games with how they're playing now. Because they're in the middle of an identity crisis. They want to run the ball, but they also want to let Russ cook.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to beat teams like the Rams, they have to give the game to Russ. Like, I get it. Russ made mistakes. Russ probably had his worst playoff game in the last 3 to 4 years. But at that same time, Chris Carson's not going to beat the Rams. He's not that guy. And it's not Russ's fault. He ran into probably the best defense in the league. I just think Pete Carroll got simply outcoached in every aspect of the game.
When is Pete Carroll's time up?
I really don't know. Because, like, Pete Carroll's done really good things in Seattle, but at some point, you got to evaluate how much of Russ's career you have left.
Yeah.
Because if you're just going to stick with Carroll and hope that you guys can put it together and win another Super Bowl, fine. But Russell Wilson's not getting any younger.
And the thing is like, he had a great first 8 weeks of the season, just, you know, in the same position that Dak Prescott was in, just having to put up more points than the other team. But, yeah, like, we saw that, like, he couldn't keep it up.
Well, yeah, nobody can keep up having to throw your team into a 40-point performance each week.
Yeah.
So it's, they need defensive. They have a lot of answers on defense. They have a lot of questions on defense they need to answer in the offseason.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they go from here. Obviously, they're still a contender in their division, but the NFC West gets more and more competitive each coming year. It's not going to get any easier next year. The Rams should be the Rams. Cardinals didn't make the playoffs, but they were feisty, and the Niners won't be as hurt as they were this year next year. So Pete Carroll needs to hope they can improve, or else they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, if Seattle missed the playoffs next year, I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either. I think the Niners have a good shot of just making the playoffs outright as the NFC West champion next year. If they can figure out quarterback and they can stay healthy, that team should win at least 10 games.
It's, yeah,
the same team as 2 years ago. They've improved the line. They have some other upgrades at skill positions and some defensive positions as well. I just think it's going to depend on how they replace Sherman or Verrett and some of those other pieces on the defense, but they still have Nick Bosa. They're going to have Javon Kinlaw, Fred Warner. This team isn't done yet.
I think at some point, Kyle Murray and Cliff Kingsbury are going to figure it out too and be able to put up 10 or 11 wins. They should have made the playoffs this year. That collapse was huge.
Kyler got hurt.
Yeah.
I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury until I see it. I'm going to be I won't believe it till I see it with him. He's gone 8-8. He's gone no better than 8-8 with Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes, and Kyler Murray at quarterback.
That's crazy.
That's just me. But yeah, we'll see how it turns out. NFC West will be competitive moving forward though, so
yeah, it is.
Good luck, Seattle.
Honestly, I mean, they're the team that's getting the oldest.
Yeah, they're aging. I just don't see much upside for them. They're not picking high enough in the draft to improve on a lot of spots.
Mm-hmm.
So either they need to trade, sign, or not tank, but get a higher draft pick, because I don't know. And then Metcalf has to figure out how to stop dropping passes.
Well, they don't even have a first-round pick this year because of the Jamal Adams trade.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't see an avenue where they improve themselves going into next year. So they're going to have to rely on the fact that other teams hopefully don't improve all that much.
Yeah.
But that's not a situation you want your team to be in, ever. Because now you're at the beck and call of everybody else in your division, just hoping they don't make a huge splash or improve tremendously.
Yeah. I died on my hill. The Buccaneers beat the Washington football team 31-23. Washington played a much better game than I thought they would. Taylor Heinicke played a much better game than I thought he would. The biggest thing for Washington there is that the running game got stuffed really bad. Antonio Gibson finished 14 for 31. JD McKissick only ran the ball twice, which is pretty common. They don't really run the ball with JD, but McKissick still only had two receptions, so they couldn't even drop it down to him. I think Washington played better than everyone thought they would. That defense can really be something special, I think, fairly soon. I mean, it was pretty special this year, but trying to cover Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Gronk, and get to Tom Brady at the same time is no easy task at all.
Yeah, it's a steep task. The Washington football team, they did their best, but to beat a Tampa team, even at home, is really hard whenever they have, because their defense is stout as well. You've got dudes like Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul chasing you down, and at the same time, their secondary and linebacking core is really good. They've been one of the top five defenses in the league all year. So to say I'm surprised by the result would be a lie. Heinicke played his heart out, but they were just overmatched.
Yeah,
in the bluntest of terms. It was an 11-win team playing an 8-win team or a 7-win team?
I'm pretty sure it was 7. Yeah, 7-9.
Yeah, there's no way the Washington football team, even at home, should have even squeaked out a win against the Buccaneers. If that would have happened, Tom Brady would have been getting slandered for the next month.
Oh, man. It would have been awful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into Sunday. The Ravens beat the Titans. Lamar gets his first playoff win. Lamar had...
Yep.
He had a great game on the ground. 16 carries for a 136 and a touchdown. King Henry did not have a king-like day. He only had 18 carries for 40 yards.
Only 18 carries. Poor guy.
Yeah. Where's the 25?
You mean 30?
That run. I watched the whole game. That run game wasn't there. Baltimore really hunkered down.
Well, for one, Tennessee pissed them off earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And they barely beat them. Everything pointed towards Baltimore winning for me. It's just, also, Tennessee had beaten them twice in the calendar year. It's really hard to beat somebody three times in a 365-day span. And I just, the Ravens were due. They've had a really rough year due to COVID and other circumstances. And this is like one of the first times we're seeing a fully healthy Ravens team.
Yeah. I'm looking at Ryan Tannehill because I'm just wondering if that's their quarterback for next season. I would say so. I don't think
they re-signed him last year, yeah. He's in like a 4-year deal or something.
Yeah, so it doesn't look like there's much change. I try to look at like all the teams that lost and see like what changes on the horizon, but for the Titans it doesn't look like it's defense.
It's defense.
Granted, Lamar didn't cook them in the air, but they got cooked during the season in the air. So they need to figure out what they can do to figure. Because they were talking about how the Ravens didn't have a win when trailing by 10 points. Now they do, but they didn't before. Mm. And that the Ravens weren't just built to make comebacks. And the Titans did it against Houston, but the Titans also don't look like they're built for comebacks. They're built for taking a 3-7 point lead and just holding onto the ball.
I just think Tennessee's in a weird situation because their team is predicated off of a running back. And sadly, the league today is ran by quarterbacks. Regardless if it's through the air or on the ground.
Yeah.
And whenever your offense's sole benefactor is Derrick Henry, it limits your ceiling. You just have a hard cap on what your ceiling is. Because it's a lot easier to stop a running back than it is to stop a passing attack.
Yeah.
Because if you just commit to stopping the run, you will stop the run more often than not. But if your offense is balanced, because that's the thing with the Titans. I feel like they probably have the most run-heavy scheme in football. They have to be close, at least, because Henry led the league in carries by a lot. Dude's getting 30 a game. And I think his 18 for 40 this week, it's just, it just shows that I don't think they're, the way they play games works. I think they got pretty lucky last year, to say the least. Like, they beat the Ravens, yeah. They beat the Patriots. But as we saw from the Patriots this year, it's the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Brady was on his way out. They had no weapons. Their defense was good. It was one of the better defenses on the year, but they had no weapons. Their offense was just dead in the water. And then we look at them beating the Ravens last year. The Ravens, it was their first playoff game with that team. I'm not surprised the Titans beat them. They went into their stadium, punched them right in the mouth. It was Lamar's first actual playoff game of significance. He lost to Phillip Rivers the year prior in the wild card. Whoop-de-doo. But I don't know. This year, I feel like it taught Lamar and the Ravens something. Because last year, they were just front runners. They were able to just beat up on teams and secure their first seed. But this year, it's just been different because COVID. They've actually dealt with adverse circumstances, and I think they've been able to compartmentalize that and turn that into meaningful football, especially with their division being so good this year. This team literally, I don't know. I don't know if it's a knock more against the Steelers, but their third string almost beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in prime time this year. So the Ravens scare me to a certain extent because we haven't fully seen what the Ravens are capable of. We know they can't really throw the ball all that well. But on the ground, they're one of the best teams in the league. They led the league in rushing yards again this year.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see the Ravens and the Bills next week. I think that's going to be a really good game.
Should be the closest one out of all the divisional rounds, in my opinion.
Nickelodeon presents the Saints and the Bears. We're not sponsored by Nickelodeon, and Nickelodeon, if you're listening, yeah, it can be.
Redacted.
Redacted. The Bears, oh man.
Da Bears.
I'm just gonna come out and say it. If Wims makes that catch, it's a different game.
They lose by 14.
The Bears lose to the Saints 21-9. But here's why I say that. Previous play, Mitch Trubisky drops a dime to, I believe it was Allen Robinson, but I can't remember. But he drops an absolute dime. Next play, trick play, drops an absolute dime. Great throw to Wims. Yeah. And Wims just whiffs.
Right through his hands.
After that, Mitch stopped turning to look down the field, no matter if someone was open downfield. So I don't know what was going through Mitch Trubisky's head, but something in his brain just told him to stop looking downfield and stop trying to make those throws. And I saw him make those throws at least twice, so I'm not going to say that he can't do it. He probably can't do it consistently, but I think that drop really just took the air out of the Chicago offense because they got the ball at half. They drove down to about the 40, the Saints 40, and then just died there. The Bears had a lot of chances to stay in this game and make it really competitive, and it just wasn't.
I don't know. Like, the Saints, they've been terrible in the first round of the playoffs the last 2 years. But this Bears team isn't. They're not. I think they're the biggest. They were the worst playoff team to make it this year. They're not good. Their defense is exceptional at times, and their offense is dysfunctional at best.
Yeah.
And Roquan Smith was out. And I think if Roquan Smith plays, the game's a bit different. Because Roquan Smith can actually follow Alvin Kamara out of the backfield. He can chase him around pretty well. But I don't know. The Bears are in a tough spot. Mitch is in a tough spot because I think Matt Nagy really just counterproduces against him half the time. Like that 1 week where Nick Foles came back against the Falcons, Mitch Trubisky was not playing badly. It was partially just the defense's fault. So, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see if Mitch goes somewhere else in the offseason. Imagine Mitch signing with the Colts.
That'd be interesting.
It'd be very interesting. Because, one, he's gonna inherit one of the best offensive lines in football and have one of the best running games in football at the same time. To pair along with Michael Pittman Jr., Zach Pascal, T.Y. Hilton, and some tight ends. I'm not saying Mitch would light the league on fire, but I think he'd be better off in Indy than he is in Chicago.
I think Frank Reich is also just a better mind.
Yeah.
But
the Saints are the Saints. They should enjoy this while it lasts. If this playoff run ends, Drew Brees is going to retire. I think he's going to retire regardless of what happens. And you're going to have to figure out what the fuck you're going to do at quarterback. Because Alvin Kamara is not going to be passing the ball downfield. Do you really want Taysom Hill doing it? And are they going to really re-sign Jameis?
I feel like they should.
Definitely, yeah. But is he going to want to stay? Because he's like, I signed up to be the backup, and then you guys threw Taysom Hill out there for fucking 5 weeks. He wants to play.
And that's the thing, right? But, like, I don't know. Does things change if you give Jameis the reps in practice as the guy? Like, we already know he's a gunslinger.
Yeah.
He ain't gotta... And now that he has... He'll have Alvin Kamara to drop the ball down whenever he wants and hand the ball off whenever he wants. I think Jameis could really succeed in that offense. And I just don't think Taysom Hill is it.
Well, I think Sean Payton thinks Taysom Hill is it. So I think Jameis needs to get the hell out of there. Because we might not agree with Sean Payton thinking Taysom Hill's the future. But every indication that I've seen, Taysom Hill is the guy moving forward. Unless they're just trying to psych everybody out. They signed him to an extension. Taysom Hill's with that team for the next 3 or 4 years.
Taysom Hill is great at his job, and his job isn't the first string quarterback. Taysom Hill is great at going here, there, and over there and running the ball a few times, but he is not the guy that you give the ball to for 60 minutes.
I don't think Sean Payton does. I think Sean Payton's going to roll Taysom Hill. Until he can't.
So then Sean Payton's going to be the downfall of his own team.
Always has been. Always will be.
If Brees retires this year, which he should, I think it's a huge quality of life thing. I think his outlook really changed after getting sandwiched by San Francisco. I feel like your life should change when you break some ribs and puncture a lung.
Yeah. Yeah, that different lease on life.
Yeah. And, you know, he's got two boys, you know, that he should just, you know, I'm sure he has plenty of money. Go raise your kids. Go have a good rest of your life.
Yeah, enjoy. He can get any broadcasting job he wants once he's done, dude.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know where the Bears go from here. Draft another tight end, I guess.
Draft a tight end, sign a backup quarterback to a huge extension. You know, just Bears things. Text Jay Cutler, be like, please come back.
Jay Cutler, best Bears quarterback in history.
Clutch a picture of Rex Grossman, be like, where did we go wrong?
Honestly. The defense is, you know, top five defense when they play well. They had some hiccups this season, but they definitely showed that they could play well against the Saints. But we'll see who is at the helm next season for, honestly, both these teams. And that leads us to...
100%.
That leads... Speaking of old quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, I'm kidding. The Pittsburgh Steelers got what they deserved. Maybe a little biased, but they got what they deserved. And they got clapped by the Browns. They were down 28-0 at one point. They were down 28-0 in the first quarter. Let me make that clear.
That was the most points scored in the first quarter of a divisional game ever.
Good. Ben has to retire. That's it. I
Ben's cooked.
Ben had a great career. He's got two rings, right? Two, if I remember right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't throw four interceptions in a playoff game and expect to win.
I don't even think it's all Ben's fault. Like, why is Mike Tomlin throwing the ball 70 times a fucking game? Like, I get it. You're down by 28, but Ben's been throwing 50 times a game all year. His arm is not built for that. Mahomes shouldn't even throw 50 times a game.
No.
And it's absolutely insane to me that he threw 68 passes in a fucking hour football game.
He set the record for most completions in the game.
Well, shit, he threw more passes than I think I've seen in my entire life. Of course he had more completions.
Yeah, I think 68 is the most I've ever seen, too. That's, like, I don't understand why Mike Tomlin even punted on 4th-and-1 when they were on.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they were, like, at midfield or on the other side of the 50. And they punted.
Yeah, they were in Browns territory. Yeah, like, why? Just go for it. You're down 28. What do you have to lose? Nothing.
I don't know. The Steelers don't have a good run game. James Conner is a serviceable back, but the run game wasn't there. Big Ben, he's got to go. He's got to retire. There's no way. I don't even know if they make the playoffs.
Can someone teach their receivers how to catch? Can that, somebody teach their receivers how to fucking catch?
That too.
They dropped more passes this year than any other team. It's insane. Deontay Johnson's hands are made out of like, I don't even know how to quantify it. There's so many balls that they just drop, and it's like, you can't have that.
Yeah.
And then they're at, by night, they're TikTok extraordinaires. This team has an identity crisis, and they need to figure it out. This is the worst 11-0 team that I have ever seen. Probably one of the worst collapses I've seen in modern sports.
Oh, it is easily one of the biggest collapses in NFL history. To start 11-0, finish 12-4, lose the last 5 out of 6, including getting bounced in the playoffs, and your one win being a comeback win against the Colts that probably shouldn't have even happened. You almost lost your division. Starting
literally
11-0.
The Steelers lost to the worst team in their division with their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
The only team in their division they didn't lose to was the Ravens, and the Ravens should have beat them both times.
Yeah.
They're in a bad spot. If Ben retires, they have nobody else besides like Mason Rudolph to back him up. And I don't trust Mason Rudolph at all.
No.
He balled out against the Browns in week 17, but it's week 17 and anything can happen. I don't know. This team is in a weird spot. And Juju could leave in the offseason. He can sign anywhere he wants to. He's a free agent.
Yeah, well, and the thing is the Browns, the Ravens, and at some point the Bengals are going to rise up. Like, they all three of those teams have extremely young quarterbacks. Like, when Joe Burrow comes back next year, and once that dude gets protection and can throw the ball to A.J. Green, T. Higgins, and the other guy I can't think of.
Boyd.
Tyler Boyd.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Joe Mixon maybe plays a game.
Yeah, that's a little wishful thinking, but yeah, if he ever plays a game.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, you have, what's his face? Giovanni Bernard and that wonderful mustache, so.
Mustache man.
The stash man himself. The Steelers are going to, they could possibly be the worst team in their division if they don't figure it out because, yeah, their defense is going to be great. But when your offense consistently, you know, when you're consistently losing the time of possession war, your defense is going to get tired. We're all human. You could be a great defense, but if you get too tired, then you're just going to get destroyed.
Yeah. This was a long time coming for the Steelers team. They came out hot, and they had the easiest schedule in the NFL this year, and they just fell apart. There's no other way to describe it. It's unfortunate for Steelers fans. If you had to witness that collapse, that sucks. I would demand more from the front office. Mike Tomlin's job is safe. Mike Tomlin's probably the most consistent coach in the last decade. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, but this might be one of the only blemishes on his resume.
Yeah.
Like, to this point.
Mike Tomlin is easily probably a Hall of Fame coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's done great for... He's been the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Since, oh, man, Coach Cower.
Yep.
And he's done done it with the same guy.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the end for Ben. Kudos to him. I think he wants to play. I think he mentioned he wants to come back for next year, but I don't know how much more he has left in the tank.
Yeah, when you know that you're losing these games because of you just can't throw the ball like you used to, at some point you just got to be like, all right, that's it for me. He's had a good career. He doesn't really have anything left to prove.
Yeah, his career's been good. It's just, it comes down to like, when are you going to be able to call it quits?
Yeah, literally. And then there were eight. The Elite Eight. The divisional round. Ready for it?
Yeah. Buzz me.
Rams, Packers.
Give me the Packers. I've been riding the Rodgers train all year. The Rams have some pieces that could help disrupt this Packers offense and their defense. And then the Packers defense is susceptible to the run game. But for one, they're playing in Lambeau. I expect it to be really cold. It probably won't be snowing, but it's going to be freezing. The Rams play in LA in a nice domed stadium. So I think home field is actually a big advantage for this team. You look what happened to Tennessee whenever they came and played in the snow.
Yeah.
They did not show up. Sean McVay is a great coach, but I think Rodgers is having one of the best years of his career. I think the offense is there for him. The defense has been extraordinary. I think Jair Alexander shuts down Robert Woods. Cooper Kupp plays, that's interesting, but I got the Packers by at least like four.
For me, I think it'll come down to one of the best cornerbacks, if not the best cornerback, versus literally the best wide receiver going right now. It's Jalen Ramsey versus Davante Adams. I think if Jalen Ramsey can win that war, then it forces Lazard, Tonyan, or MVS to have a big game. So I think in the end, I'm not going to say it comes down to Rodgers, because we know Rodgers is going to have a game. Rodgers is having a great year. Wonderful year. So I'm not going to sit here and say it's all on Rodgers. Rodgers is going to put up. He had one bad game against the Colts defense, and even then he threw for like almost 300 yards, if not 300 yards.
He had the one bad game against the Bucks defense.
Yeah.
And the Colts, I guess.
But it'll come down to whether Lazard or MVS can have a big game. But after, I don't know. The Rams defense did great against Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson also been on the decline the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick the Rams anyways, because I just think defense wins championships. And if it's hard for me to pick and go with Jared Goff at the same time, but
he has a broken thumb.
He does. And John Wolford doesn't know who he plays for.
Yeah. I like McVay. I like what the Rams are doing. But this is probably one of the hotter teams in football. And it's a tough task having to beat Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau. So I'm picking the Packers. If they lose, they lose. I'll be proven otherwise. But until I see it, I'm not going to believe it.
That's fair. The night game for Saturday is Baltimore Ravens versus the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, man.
I love Josh Allen, and I will continue to love Josh Allen until he's out of the playoffs.
I love Josh Allen, but give me Baltimore.
Okay.
I think Baltimore's the best defense Josh Allen has seen this year.
Really?
Genuinely speaking. Yeah, it's up there. Okay. Well, name a better defense he's played against. There's nobody in the AFC East that scares me. Like, sure, Miami has a good defense.
But he did play the Colts and the Steelers. Defense is...
The Steelers have proven time and again they're not. The Steelers were a false prophet this year. Their defense is good, sure. But this Ravens defense is disgusting. Ngakoue and Calais Campbell, Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Patrick Queen. There's maybe no holes on this defense. And Josh Allen has made minimal mistakes this year, but he is not immune to making mistakes. And if the Titans game proved anything, it's that if you're turning the ball over against the Ravens, it's extremely hard to beat them. It's going to come down to the turnover battle. But I think this secondary is probably one of the better secondaries that Josh Allen's going to have seen this year. And that front four is going to be really hard to stop.
Yeah.
And if Lamar can get what he wants on the ground along with Dobbins, they're a tough out.
Yeah, I'm just looking
at... I don't know if it's a blowout for either team.
I'm just looking at some, like, who the Bills have played this year. They played the Rams. They played... that's the Titans. I'm dumb. I could have sworn they played the Ravens this year already, but maybe they just played the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers and somebody else. I don't know. Sean McDermott, there we go, and offensive coordinator, who I can't remember the name of, have continually showed that their schemes have worked very well against anybody. So it's hard for me to pick. And Buffalo's defense has really stepped up. They've been playing really well.
Yeah.
The last, like, 5 or 6 weeks. We'll see, because Lamar isn't going to toast anybody in the air. And the Bills have had great games against Miami's defense.
The Bills played the Titans this year, right? And the Titans beat the Bills. That happened, right?
Yeah. That was the two-game stretch where the Bills just did not play well. They lost to the Titans and the Chiefs. And then their third loss is that DeAndre Hopkins one-hander.
Yeah, if the Bills didn't beat that Titans team, I get it. Derrick Henry's an immovable object. But that secondary is literal ass. Straight cheeks. It's not good.
Yeah.
You could throw for 400 yards against the secondary. The secondary the Ravens have is one of the better ones in the league. Their two corners are top tier in terms of just secondaries. One and two guy. So I think Humphrey... So Diggs is going to be seeing Marlon Humphrey or Marcus Peters all game. I'm not saying Stephon Diggs can't break through that, but it's going to be really hard on him. So it's going to take John Brown, Dawson Knox, Cole Beasley, and stuff like that to win this game. And based on how the Bills have been winning games, they need Stephon Diggs to have big days.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And if Cole Beasley is going to continue to play hurt, then they lose that slot guy as well. And I think Cole Beasley is huge for that team.
Oh, yeah. You're second team all pro.
Yeah. The whole Bills team is second team all pro, apparently.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Give me the Raven.
Okay. I can definitely see the reasoning. It's the Chiefs and the Browns. Do I have to say more? I love the Browns.
I don't know. Like, it's interesting because the Browns are they've overachieved to the greatest term of to the greatest meaning of the term. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. Everything after that is gravy. I think the game's closer than people expect it to be. The Browns defense is not a pushover. Myles Garrett can get to the quarterback, and I don't think Patrick Mahomes wants to see that dude on the field. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. They're going to have a tough time keeping up with Hill, Kelsey, Watkins, and the whole brigade of weapons. But I think Casey's going to have trouble with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, that definitely 1-2 punch is going to be huge, and it's all about ball control for the Browns, and it's all about scoring in like 5 seconds with the Chiefs. I'm still going to take the Chiefs, but yeah, I think it'll definitely be a good game, and the Browns are definitely just overachieving at this point, and they're just running into one of the best teams we've seen in the past 10 years.
Yeah, I'm definitely picking the Chiefs, but the Browns should make this game interesting. Especially if Houston took Kansas City to the brink in the divisional round last year.
Yeah. And then your Sunday afternoon game, broadcast on the History Channel, it's the Buccaneers and the Saints.
Oh, man.
It's not actually on the History Channel, but it should be.
Yeah. Give me Tom Brady. The Saints beat them twice this year in the regular season. Same thing with how the Titans lost to the Ravens. It's really hard to beat a team 3 times in 1 year. If there's a team to do it, the Saints could do it because I think they have the Bucs number. But I think something's got to give for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think at some point a Tom Brady team is going to figure it out.
Yeah.
I think their offense is dynamic. And granted that New Orleans defense has held up against them twice, we are in a different world now.
Yeah, 100%.
So
I want to take Tom Brady's team. I'm going to take the Bucs. The Saints could win this game easily, but the Bucs offense is at a better point than it's been all season. Their defense is stout, and Drew Brees looks more human each week.
Yeah. Maybe they give Kamara 25 carries. That'll change it.
Yeah, 17 touchdowns in the game. You know, something light.
It'll be like 4 Taysom Hill runs. I don't know. Where do I start with the whole Taysom Hill thing?
Yeah.
So I think until we have results next week, that'll do it for football. It's getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting to the end times.
We are 1 week away from a conference championship game.
Whew. Oh, yeah.
I can't believe we made it this far.
Honestly, it's been a wild ride.
So let's jump into baseball. It's getting... Just when you think it can't get juicier, it just keeps getting juicier. Now, granted, the stove isn't as hot as it was last week.
Yeah,
with Francisco Lindor going to the Mets, but now
it's simmering. It's just doing its thing.
It's on.
Yeah,
but we put out the fire for now.
Mm-hmm.
So something I want to talk about is DJ LeMahieu. So DJ LeMahieu has been a Yankee for the past couple seasons, and he's been a great Yankee for the past couple seasons. He won a batting title. He's played every game that he's been sent out there. That short ports gets him a couple of home runs. And now the Yankees want to try and underpay him. What? The Yankees, out of all 30 Major League Baseball teams, the Yankees are the team that need health the most. Because I can guarantee you that Stanton and Judge are not playing 162 games. They're not even playing 150. They're going to get hurt like they always do. Whether it's... I don't know if it's something wrong with them or something wrong with Yankees medical staff. Maybe they should hire a yoga instructor. I don't know.
Start doing Pilates.
Honestly. But to let DJ LeMahieu... To kind of destroy your negotiations. To... Have DJ tell his agent to... Start looking at other teams again is you had DJ LeMahieu in the palm of your hands. You just had to get on the same page and you were never close. You can't put Gleyber Torres at second. That's not going to fix your problem. You can't put Gio Urshela at second base. That's not going to fix your problem. If the Yankees want to win a world championship in 2021, DJ LeMahieu has to be their second baseman. Plain and simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's your leadoff hitter 100% of the time. You ain't going to put Brett Gardner as your leadoff hitter. Not going to put Aaron Judge as your leadoff hitter. Not going to put Giancarlo Stanton as your leadoff hitter. DJ LeMahieu gets on base, gets in front of Judge and Stanton, who can put the ball over the wall anytime they step up to the plate, and you can be up 2-0 just like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me that now the Jays or the Dodgers or any other team could get DJ LeMahieu. If the Jays got DJ LeMahieu, that's a huge upgrade.
If I was a Yankees fan, I'd be pissed.
To have Vlad Guerrero Jr. at third,
mm-hmm.
Bo Bichette at second, Bo Bichette at short, sorry, DJ at, mm-hmm. at second, that's huge.
What happens to Biggio? Where do they move him?
Outfield, probably, I think. I'm pretty sure Cavan's played the outfield before.
Yeah. They're young, too. The Jays are super young. But if they added a guy like DJ, that brings leadership and just consistency to a lineup.
Yeah, DJ's leadership could be huge for that team, especially because he could really help the fundamentals of Bichette and Guerrero and Biggio and every other former player's son that's on that team.
Yeah.
So I think DJ's going to make a huge impact wherever he goes. He's shown that he didn't need the Colorado field or air to have a high average.
Uh-huh.
And he got rid of that doubt a long time ago.
Yeah.
But the Yankees have shot themselves in the foot really bad, and I don't know if they'll be able to recover. I think the Yankees will still be a playoff team regardless, because they still have that core of hitting. I don't know what's left of their starting rotation, considering their guys either get suspended or get hurt. I don't.
And Garrett Cole with that ball doctoring scandal, we don't know what's going to happen to him.
Yeah, Jesus, come on, Garrett. Garrett Cole is like the only starter that I know that they have, but
yeah.
Can you imagine if Cole got hurt at all?
That'd be a bad look. Would not be conducive to many wins for the Yankees.
Like, let's take a look. I just want to look at their depth chart. Like, what do they think they can throw out? Jordan Montgomery, Devi Garcia, Michael King, Domingo Herman, and Luis Severino among starting rotation. I don't think Jordan Montgomery's it. Devi Garcia could be it. Mm-hmm. It's a rookie that they're going to throw out there. Michael King, probably not. Domingo Herman and Luis Severino are constantly having problems. And as much as, like, oh God, Gary Sanchez. I hate Gary Sanchez. I don't know. I don't know what the Yankees do from here. They, like, as much as they need a rotation. Like, look, their second base depth chart is Tyler Wade and some guy I haven't heard of. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, like, why are you trying to move on from DJ? You don't make no sense.
Yeah, DJ's a piece that you have to have. And if he goes somewhere else, then I don't know what you do from here. We'll see where DJ goes. I think it'd be a huge splash for the Dodgers. The Dodgers have to make a move because everyone else around them is making moves.
Yeah.
A team in their own division is making moves, for crying out loud. As much as, they need starting pitching as well. Man, that seems to be a huge thing, right? All these powerhouse teams are just running out of pitchers at this point. But wherever DJ goes, we'll be right on it. But we can get to a signing that happened. White Sox signed Liam Hendricks to a 3-year, $54 million deal.
Well, they got their closer now, which is nice.
I was really surprised that they paid a closer that much money. Granted, he's an all-star closer. Liam Hendricks, great pitcher. Yeah. A man can gas anybody he wants and just spike any slider or curveball, whatever he throws that he wants. And he has a fourth-year option. I don't think that the back end of the Chicago bullpen was really laid out, per se. So I think this is huge for them. And now they have Garrett Crochet, who can throw 100, who could be a good setup guy for Liam. Just having flamethrowers in the back, man.
Yeah.
And now, they have Lance Lynn. They have Dallas Keuchel. They have Lucas Giolito. They already have a powerhouse offense. They're probably the favorites to win the Central at this point.
In the AL? Yeah, in the Central.
The Indians aren't going to compete. The Royals aren't going to compete. The Tigers aren't going to compete. They just have to get by the Twins. The Twins are the only team they have to get by.
Yep.
And I think they could easily do that.
Yeah. On paper, they should definitely.
A couple of, I don't know what you want to call it, admin things. Rob Manfred says we're going to start on time this year. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll believe it whenever I see it.
If we start in late March, then I'll believe it for sure.
Yeah.
And so far, if they're going to have fans in the at stadiums, it looks like that they don't have to show any proof that they either have had a vaccine or a negative test, which makes sense. I don't think anybody else has done that. And if you're bringing in, I don't know, I would assume teams are going to bring around 7,000 to 10,000 fans per game.
Yeah, they'll have it at a limited capacity.
So a normal Oakland A's game. It would just cause too much problems if each fan had to bring proof that they either had a vaccine or had a negative test. COVID tests would skyrocket. Mm. Because you have season ticket holders. Yeah. So baseball's kind of, I don't know. If they want to start on time, we're kind of in a weird spot of we're still surging in COVID. They want to keep the schedule to where, you know, everybody plays everybody. So you're going to have, you know, travel cross country.
Yeah.
I think baseball has to do this for sure. Or else they're just going to lose too much money again. You have to bring in fans or else you're going to lose too much money. Like, to add on to this, I saw last night that Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, has said that he is expecting to lose billions. And that's crazy to think about. But then you have to also think about that all ice hockey games are played indoors. And when you want to bring fans indoors, it makes it a lot harder. But to hear that hockey is losing billions, Rob Manfred is all about money. We already know that.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll find a way to bring in fans one way or another. I don't think that we go back to normal by the end of baseball season. I think it'll be limited throughout the entire season.
Yeah.
And hopefully 2022 is normal.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens there. Chris Bryant, the Jays are talking about trying to get Chris Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, see, this is where where you can benefit from a DH. If you could put Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the DH spot and not have to teach him infield fundamentals for like 2 or 3 years, that's huge.
Oh yeah, his bat's just gonna skyrocket that lineup.
Have you seen his dad?
Yeah, I have.
If that dude hits 80% of what his dad did, he's gonna be huge. And he already is hitting.
Oh yeah.
Baseball is, like, it's kind of crazy that we're in January. We're about a month away from spring training at this point, and we still don't have a Trevor Bauer signing. We still don't have a DJ.
Still don't have a George Springer.
George Springer. Springer's been tied to the Mets for like 3 months now.
Yeah.
But Springer
once that domino falls.
Yeah, once he gets.
Once he gets signed. I think everything else is just going to fall into place. I think everybody's waiting for Springer. Once Springer gets his number, everyone's like, okay, well, look at my guy over here. Look at me over now. I got this, 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 and that. I'm worth at least this.
Yeah, because we haven't seen a whole lot of outfielders signed, and it's probably because Springer hasn't been signed. Because you still have, like, Marcell Ozuna, Yasiel Puig. Yep. Granted, Yasiel Puig isn't going to pull in the money that George Springer is, but Yasiel Puig can still hit, and he still has a cannon of an arm.
Yep.
He could still...
He's still an asset.
Yeah, he could fit easily somewhere. Trevor Bauer is really the last, like, huge starter that I can think of that is left, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely.
I don't know what he's waiting for at this point. Probably just wants a lot of money, obviously.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Back up the Brinks truck.
Back up the Brinks truck. But I don't even know. What do you even do?
I have no clue at that point. It's just put your hands up and go, I don't know.
Man, I'm just trying to think of, like, because obviously wherever Trevor Bauer goes, he
mm-hmm.
most likely would be number one, maybe number two. But he really benefits. Yeah. He really benefits because Trevor Bauer was always that middle guy out in Cleveland. He was always number three, maybe number two. But you have this outstanding season for the Reds, and all of a sudden, everyone wants to know, like, you have a YouTube channel, and your agent has a YouTube channel, and you do this, and you do that, and everyone's like, wow, Trevor Bauer. It's like, the guy had one great season, and now is commanding a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that it's going to happen, but it really wouldn't surprise me if Trevor Bauer doesn't replicate what he did. Like, if he doesn't have a Cy Young type season, he's just that 3 or 4 guy.
Yeah, he could fall back to his baseline, which isn't bad, but it's not what he's going to be getting paid to do. So I think Trevor Bauer won't get signed for a while.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it's like right before spring training.
Yep.
And the thing is like, you have to look at where he was. Like, he pitched for the Reds, and uh-huh. he played against the Central of the AL and the Central of the NL.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me all you want that those teams, like, how many teams made out of the playoffs, but both those divisions suck.
Yeah.
The Indians.
They're both bad.
The Indians are not good. They made the playoffs because of their great pitching. St. Louis, not good. They're old. Tigers, Royals, Pirates, Brewers, Cubs. I named you some playoff teams, but Cubs got bounced in the first round by Miami. St. Louis got bounced in the first round by San Diego. The Pirates are rebuilding. Yeah. The Tigers are rebuilding. The Royals are rebuilding. Cleveland's going to start rebuilding. I don't know. I don't want to sit here and talk trash about Trevor Bauer, but
he wasn't playing the best competition.
He had a great season at the right time. Literally the perfect time. And now he gets to command 100%. This. He gets to command this free agency pool.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's no salary cap in baseball, but I don't know. Honestly, the Dodgers should probably just throw all the money at him.
Yeah, be like, you know what, Trevor, come over here for a couple years.
Kershaw, Buehler, and Bauer.
That'd be cool. Like, as a Giants fan, like, screw it. I'll watch the Dodgers and Padres kill each other for the next 5 years. As long as the Giants don't screw it up and sign somebody to a huge deal when we're not going to be winning, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the thing is the Dodgers have, like, when we get to, like, evaluating each division in the next, like, I don't know, probably do that in a month or so, the Dodgers have to do something.
Yeah, they got to make a move.
And if they don't make a move by the time we evaluate them next month, I'm going to say the same thing. They have to make a move. The Padres are coming to kill the dynasty. The Mets are coming to kill them. The Braves don't even have to make a move. The Braves are going to get Mike Soroka back. Their starting pitching is insane. They can play offense.
They have Acuna still. They have Freeman. Yeah.
The NL is like the AFC of football right now. It's going to be a dogfight for 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And you and I are kind of just fans of teams that are just going to stand by and watch.
Like, we're just going to be drinking our beer, wearing our gear, and just enjoying it. Just enjoying the ride. How high can our draft pick fall? Let's see.
For us, number two. We got number two.
Yeah.
I'll just be screaming out Gallo Bomb. Top three.
I'll just be hoping for splash hits to McCovey Cove from Yastrzemski.
Ooh. Old splash hits. Not much of those anymore.
No. not much at all.
But until there's more moves made, I think that's it. I got out my DJ LeMahieu rant.
Yeah, sign the man, Yankees. It's not even a hard decision. Just throw in the money and be like, hey, sign the line. You're Yankee.
You are literally the team that set the bar for throwing money at whoever the hell you wanted and buying world titles. And all of a sudden, you don't want to buy a world title?
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's crazy.
Like, whatever. They have, like, 27 world championships, whatever. It drives me nuts when, like, Yankee fans are like, man, we haven't had a World Series in 11 years. It's like, oh, that's cute. Thanks.
Yeah.
Mr. 3-5.
Mr. 3-5.
I see you over there.
We did what we could. I am extremely blessed to be a Giants fan. Forever thankful.
The Giants.
Anything at this point's gravy.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants did exactly what they were supposed to. The window opened, they went through it,
and
the window closed.
Seized it. Yeah, now we're rebuilding, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. Rebuilds are human nature. To sit here and think, wow. Like, that's the problem with the Yankees at this point. I don't think the Yankees ever thought their window closed. They're still just operating under the fact, like, we're a World Series contender. And it's like, okay, you can be contending, but you're finishing in the ALCS and the ALDS each year. At what point do you take those steps back, save the money, and just gear up for the next phase?
That's just how it is for high market teams, though, right? Boston's in the same spot. Yeah. Boston's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the truth.
And the Dodgers have won how many division titles in a row? And they have one world title?
Yep, that's true. Baseball's weird. You got to get lucky, and you have to get hot. The hottest teams win. I.e. the Nats.
The Nationals.
I.e.
The Giants were the hottest
Giants teams.
The Giants were the hottest team all three times. And they never.
Yeah.
I think you will easily admit they were never the best team going in. Ever.
Oh, not at all. But we had some of the best pitching going in each year. And that's what diversified it. Because our bats could always come alive. Our bats weren't the most consistent. But whenever the playoffs hit and it was time to, like, get going, they figured it out. That's one of the best timely hitting teams I've ever seen, those Giants teams. Whenever we needed runs, we'd get them, and then our pitchers could just hold a lead, and that's all we needed.
All I have is 2010, 2011, so I won't reminisce because it'll just bring pain.
Yeah. But I think that's about it, no?
Yeah, that'll do it for us. Until next time, this has been the Makeshift Managers Podcast. I'm Austin.
And I'm Devin. Peace.